So we have been in 21 days of prayer here at New Life Church. You're just coming in and you don't know what's going on. We've been calling it Pray First. That has been our rallying cry. And this is going to be a part of our church culture from this week or from this series on forward for the rest of our church. We are going to pray first. We're not going to pray last. When are we going to pray? First. Prayer is always going to be our first response, not our last resort. It's going to be how we handle situations. And we, even when we have, you know, crisis and situations, what are we going to do? Pray first. Even when it's just a normal doctor's visit, when we're walking back in to see the doctor, what are we going to do? Pray first. When we're sending our kids off to school, before they walk into that school for the, you know, for whatever reasons, whatever time it is, what are we going to do? Pray first. And we're not going to just pray, and this is what we talked about last Wednesday. Whenever you deal with any kind of anxiety in your heart, anxiety is an indicator that you need to pray. It's that internal alarm system that God is telling you, pray right now. Don't wait. Don't put it off. Pray right now. Don't be anxious for anything, but in everything, pray is what the Word teaches us. And then Sunday morning, we learned that when we do pray, don't pray these weak, soft, small, generic prayers. Pray big. We serve a big, awesome God. Pray faith-filled prayers. Pray according to the Word of God. Pray as if God is so big, so great, there's no chance He doesn't hear because he's such an awesome God. And when you pray, pray specific, because generic prayers will not move God to specific actions. It requires specific things. So whenever you're praying something out and you're getting into the presence of God, get specific with what you're believing for. Don't just pray, God, bless me today. What? Don't give Him any of that mess. God's up in heaven going, bless you. Do you see where you live? You live in the United States. You're doing pretty good. Give Him something to work with. Give Him faith. Give Him some word. Give Him some specific things. That's how God operates. But we've been in 3 weeks. This is the third week of this series. And we've got one more service after tonight that we're going to be dealing with this. And actually, the 21 days ends on Saturday, but we're going to extend it one more Sunday because it made sense. So it's actually 22 days. I know David called me out last week for an error on that. You can always appreciate and always be ready for David Bradshaw. He's going to catch it. If there's an issue, he's going to catch it. And then he's going to post about it on Facebook for the whole world to see. Appreciate him. Anyway, Sunday morning, we're going to deal with praying for healing, specifically praying for healing, and we're going to pray and lay hands on people and believe God for miracles. How many of you know and believe that God is a miracle-working God? He absolutely is, and so we encourage you to be here Sunday morning and encourage you to stay really connected and hooked up. We got one more day, and I will tell you this, too. We have one more day where we're streaming the prayer. That's tomorrow at 1. We stream the live prayer from 1 to 2. And then I'm actually going to continue 6 a.m. prayer on Tuesdays for a while because I felt in my spirit, and I shared it with everybody who was there Tuesday, felt in my spirit that God is doing something. You know that God is doing something even when you don't see it? Oftentimes when it looks like He's not doing something to your eyes, you look out and it doesn't look like anything's working, that's when you need to push through. That's when He's working the most because it's at that moment that the enemy is trying to stop something. And so you don't ever let what you see affect your spiritual. We walk by faith, not by... I was holding my ear, but you got it, all right? So tonight, what we're going to deal with, and I'm not going to preach long, but I did want to take a little bit of time at the end and just get into the presence of God and see how the Holy Spirit moves and pray a little bit. But tonight, I want to deal with three secrets to prayer. Three secrets to prayer and efficiency in praying, not just praying. Everybody prays. We made some jokes about that Sunday morning. But efficient praying, praying and receiving, and praying for answers, that's what's important. You know, we all have, I believe that all of us here have something that we are believing God for. Some area that we are needing a breakthrough in, something in our personal life, maybe somebody that we know that we're praying for, that we've been asking for, could be our kids, could be our family, could be somebody's health, could be a number of different things. Maybe it's I need wisdom, maybe it's I need an open door, maybe it's I need an opportunity, maybe it's my job is miserable and I'm believing God for a better job, or I'm believing God for a raise and an opportunity within that job. But, you know, I know this, over the past month, one thing that we've determined through this season of prayer is that for a lot of people, life is complex and life is complicated. And don't ever assume you know what anybody's going through just because you see him at church smiling. Don't assume you know, have any kind of idea what anybody's really going through just because they posted a happy picture on Instagram or Facebook that day. You have no idea what people are really going through. You could be sitting in front of or beside somebody who is going through absolute hell tonight, and you wouldn't have a clue because they brought their happy face and slapped it on before they got to church tonight. That's the reality, and life is complicated. And you never really know what's going on in someone's heart and someone's mind. And so Jesus knew how complicated life was, and so he gave us some clues here for how to pray and access heaven so that we could have answers. What's the point of praying if you never have a prayer answered? How miserable would that be if every time you prayed, you never got an answer? And so Jesus wanted us to, he wanted us to receive, not just ask. It's why in Luke 11, he said this, ask, you shall receive, seek, and you will find, knock, and it'll be opened. And Jesus is also the one who said in Luke 18, a little bit later on, he said, men and women ought to pray. And he said, and not faint in some translations. Other translations say men and women ought to pray and not ever give up. Pray and not ever give up. The book of James, James 5:16, it has that popular verse. The Bible says that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. It availeth much. But just like anything in life, for that prayer to availeth much, for it to be efficient, you've got to know how to use it. You've got to know how to pray. You've got to know how to excel. And you got to know what you're doing. And this applies in everything in life. In everything in life. So I go to the gym maybe 3 days a week. It's about 3 days a week is all I'm doing right now. And when I go to Planet Fitness, and I know that they say on the sign it is a judgment-free zone. But there's a lot of people that I'm going to be honest, I am judging. And it's internal, and so God forgive me for it. But you see people who come into the gym, and they have no clue what they're doing. And I'm not judging them like, oh, look at you, who you think you are. I'm not doing that. I'm watching them because they're going to hurt themselves. They have no clue how to use some of these machines, and they're jerking and moving crazy. And you're looking at them going, oh, my God, their arms are going to rip off and fly across the room. They have no clue what they're doing. In anything in life, you need to know what you're doing. If you're a professional, it's like anything, baking. You got to be good at it. You got to know what you're doing. You could talk about and apply this to anything in life. You got to know what you're doing. People don't ever, in a profession, don't ever just show up and say, I hope it works today. That's not how life works. And so why would you think that as a professional, you can get by with not knowing your job, not being educated, not being prepared, but in the spiritual aspects, you can just show up and scream something out and God's just going to automatically give it to you because... That's entitlement, and that's not how God responds. We taught this in week one. God, what impacts God is faith, praying in faith, not praying and begging, not praying and wishing, not praying and hoping. Praying and faith are always what move the heart of God. And so we have to know what we're doing. And so the goal through 21 days of prayer isn't just pray more, it's pray first and pray better. Pray first and pray effectively. Pray first and pray in a way where God hears and you know it and he answers and you receive it. That's how we want you living your life, your spiritual life. Pray first, pray better. If I'm being honest, there's a lot of us that when we pray, my concern is that a lot of us when we pray, because we don't really know what we're doing, the prayer never really, it never cracks the ceiling, never busts through because we're praying wrong. James 4 says this. He says, you ask, but you don't receive. And there's something here that he wants us to know. Why don't I receive when I ask? James, because you ask, and the word he uses is amiss in my translation. And in other translations, it says, because you're asking wrong. You're not asking the way God has designed and God has told you to ask. And so if you want to get the answer here, you can't ask selfishly. You can't ask God for something that just because you want it. He said that's not how you receive. If you're not asking for God's will, if you're not asking in a way that gives God glory, there's a lot of different things here that he goes into. If you're just lusting after something, that's not how you get answered prayers. God said those kind of prayers in that kind of condition won't ever be answered. And so if you've ever wondered sometimes why your prayers weren't answered, that might be a reason. There's another one, James chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. If anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives liberally, but let that person ask in what? Faith. Let him ask in faith. For the person who doesn't have faith, I'm paraphrasing now, he says it's like the waves of the sea, he's tossed back and forth. And then he says this, let that person know that they'll never receive anything from God. He says they're not going to receive jack squat. That's my paraphrased version, jack squat. He's saying there's a reverse promise here on prayer. So you got to understand that that person who prays this way, prays negatively, won't ever get anything from God. A lot of people are camped there. A lot of people have never broken out of that. And that's why they get so frustrated. That's why they stop praying. They've been praying wrong. They don't understand it. So in just 4 minutes, I've already shown you that there are some definite, absolute conditions to getting answered prayer. Just in this little few scriptures we've looked at, there's conditions here. And so it's not just a, hey, God, help me out here. Hey, God, do this for me. And it gets answered. Now, I will say this. God is so merciful that anytime it has to do with salvation, God's quick to respond to that. Because that's his heart, salvation. He'll always respond to those calls for salvation and for help. But when it comes to you receiving or petitioning or asking, it operates differently because there's an enemy out there who's acting like a goalie trying to stop you from getting anything from God. He's trying to block whatever it is he can block and keep and prevent you from receiving what it is you're asking for. It's why there was also a great example of Elijah that James gives us in chapter 5. And he says in New American Standard, he talks about how Elijah had to pray earnestly. Earnestly. And earnestly is not a word that we use much. I don't think I've used that word ever except for reading this passage. How are you doing? I'm earnest? I don't know what that means. So he says he prayed earnestly. What it means in the Greek is this. It means he prayed in his prayers. It's actually doubling up on prayer. He's prayed in his prayers. In other words, it was a true commitment to connecting with God. Because the reality is that there are some people, even through our 21 days of prayer, you need to guard this and make sure that you're actually praying, that you're not just rehearsing something, and you're not just saying something to say it. You're not just treating your time with God the same way you would treat praying over your Taco Bell for lunch. Because you know how that goes. God, thank you for this food. In Jesus' name, amen. You just say it to get it out of the way so you can scarf. And God's saying, this is not what I'm talking about. This is not what praying is all about here. This isn't just about rehearsed and memorizing lines. Lord, I lay me down to sleep. I pray my soul, whatever. That's not praying. That's reciting a quote or a poem. He said, that's not it. And he said, Elijah prayed in his prayers, and it's a big difference. And when you learn that difference, it changes. What do you think that believers in the United States need more of right now to shake the church up, to reach more people for Jesus? What is it do you think that they need? More religious prayers, more rehearsed prayers, more line by line? We pray the exact same thing all the time. You think we need more preachers with degrees? You think we need cooler lights? I love our lights, but do you think lights and all that don't do anything to build the church? Don't do anything to build the kingdom. I love it. I think it's cool. But I'm very, very aware that that's not what changes people's lives. It's a people who have learned how to pray in a way that they access the presence of God and receive. That's what's going to shake this nation. That's what's going to shake your home. That's what's going to change your life. It's that when you pray, you've learned how to pray in a way that you actually get answers. This is so powerful and this is so important for us. And that's what God is. God is, he's up in heaven with his ear, just leaning over, listening for someone who can access his presence and can pray according to his word because he's waiting to send answers to those people. That's what's going on right now. So there's a right way to pray. There's a wrong way to pray. And to say this, you know, just to repeat this, I've said this already in a different message, but when I say the wrong way to pray, again, I'm not talking about a position of prayer. I'm not talking about kneeling versus standing or, you know, laying flat on your face versus hands up in the air, anything like that. God, the Word of God does not say that there's any specific way to pray as far as a physical posture that God favors, all right? Well, he's kneeling today. He gets extra bonus for his answers or no, you know, it doesn't work that way. You can pray in your car, you can pray in your shower, you can pray at the, like I said earlier, the doctor's office, you can pray at Walmart, you can pray at the DMV if you can cast out the devils there. You can do all kinds of stuff. You can pray anywhere at any time. There's no restraints and there's not a difference there. And the Bible says do what you got to do. Sometimes Jesus laid flat on his face with his face on the ground to pray. And God heard and answered prayers. There was all types of different, times in Scripture that you would see where people were praying. In fact, when the Holy Spirit was poured out in the book of Acts, read Acts 2. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit was poured out on people where they were sitting. So at the moment where the greatest outpouring of the Holy Spirit took place, people were having a seat. They weren't up and dancing and shouting and, you know, running around. They were sitting there waiting patiently on the Lord. The posture doesn't matter. So that's not what I'm talking about. I just want to emphasize that so people understand that. Because what really matters is what's in your heart, the faith in your heart and your approach to God, and how you're approaching the Holy Spirit, all right? It's just like, I was thinking about this earlier today, it's just like in basketball. You don't just shoot a ball. You don't just walk into a gym and shoot a ball. There's mechanics to it. There is a process to it. If you don't have the correct balance, if you don't have the right release, if you don't have the right form, if you don't have the right grip on the ball, there's so many things that go into just shooting a basketball that as a coach you teach a student or an athlete or a player so that they can shoot correctly and they can shoot appropriately. Yes, if you come in and just grab a ball and chuck it up at the rim, it may go in, but I promise you it won't be consistent. You may get lucky every once in a while, but you want to learn the correct mechanics in this so that way when you shoot, you can be efficient. And this is how this works. So we're going to talk about a couple things that the Bible says, looking at James chapter 5. We're going to read verses 13 through 17. We'll put them up on the screen so you can follow along. James chapter 5, verses 13 through 17. Hold on, I'm not there. Preacher's the last one to the scripture. That's not good. And we're going to see what Scripture has to say. Verse 13, is any one of you in trouble? He should, what? Pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing a song of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he'll be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you might be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And then, of course, he goes on to talk about Elijah right there. And I want to start in the very first verse. Is anyone among you in trouble, let him pray. Is any one of you in trouble, let them pray. How can a Christian be in trouble? Is that a real thing? Can Christians be in trouble? Somebody help me out. Can Christians be in trouble? Yup. Can Christians be in trouble in their finances? Yup. Can Christians be in trouble in their relationships? Yup. Can Christians be in trouble in their health? Yup. We sure can. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're exempt. And you got to remember that. Anytime, the Bible is so real with problems. Jesus is so blunt and straightforward, and Scripture is so straightforward when it comes to dealing with issues and problems. And anytime you hear a preacher say that once you give your heart and life to Jesus, problems stop, you need to just turn it off or walk away. Because he is straight up lying to get something out of you. He's about to get some money out of you in a minute. And you just make sure you be aware of that. James is writing this to Christians. He's writing this to Christians. He's saying, hey, Christian, you're going to have a difficult time. You're going to deal with some difficult seasons. Show of hands, how many of you have experienced some of those difficult seasons before? I have. I know you have too. We've all gone through that. And he's saying, this is a part of it. He's like, listen, every one of us are going to deal with this at some point. Every one of us are going to go through something that is trouble. And he tells you what to do. Are you dealing with trouble? What should I do? Pray. He says, what should you do? Pray. This is how God is known in the Bible as God who answers, hears, and answers prayer. And James is saying, access the presence of God. There's no other God that exists that is worshipped from any other religion that saves a soul, that hears and answers prayer. There's not another religion that comes even close. There's no other God. Don't even get me started on that. It is our God, the one true God. It is Jesus Christ, our Lord. And he's going on into this, and he's getting into this because he wants us to understand. Even Jesus himself had to be filled with the Spirit, had to pray before God used him in any of his miracles. And Jesus had to pray as well. Remember, Jesus, when he came to the earth, he took upon himself total human flesh. And he had to depend on the Holy Spirit, and the proof was in the Jordan River. He had to be baptized in water, and then after he was baptized in water, the Bible says that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. It descended on him like a dove, and then Heavenly Father spoke out as a good dad. I'm proud of my son is essentially what he said. And then from that point on, that's when the miracles began. There was not a single miracle that took place in Jesus' life before he was filled with the Spirit. So he had to depend on the Spirit, and Jesus himself had to pray. He had to pray. And after his ministry began, he would spend days and nights and fasting and in prayer because he had to pray in order to stay filled and stirred and connected with his Father. Jesus had to do that. Now, if Jesus had to do that, what makes you think we can go get by without doing that too? What makes you think that we can live better spiritual lives than Jesus, get more accomplished than Jesus, and yet not take time and pray the way Jesus prayed? Makes no sense. It's not even logical. And we taught this from day one. We took Matthew's account. So the disciples, when Jesus was praying one day, the disciples came up to him and said, "Lord, teach us how to pray." I've always found it interesting that the disciples not once said, "Hey, Lord, teach us how to preach. Hey, Lord, will you teach us that really cool song you sang at church? Hey, Lord, will you teach us how to operate this in a ministry and how to run leadership and how to train?" No. What did they ask Jesus to do? "Jesus, teach us how to pray." And the reason why they asked him to teach them how to pray, they knew how to pray. They knew how to pray religious prayers. They had all grown in the culture of that day, and they instructed them on how to pray and how to quote and read those religious prayers of the day. But when they saw Jesus praying, there was something different about it. There was a passion. There was a connection. There was a power. There was an emphasis, something that Jesus was getting out of his time with God that they had never gotten before. So they said, "Jesus, show us what you're doing. This is something that we want too." And so Jesus began to teach them how to pray. And that's when we went into that teaching for they call it the Lord's Prayer, but it's really the disciples' prayer, because the Lord, when he says, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from it," Jesus, anyway, I could get into that another day. But every important moment throughout Old Testament and New Testament, whenever you see something significant that took place, it was always surrounded by prayer. There was prayer taking place. The disciples and the followers of Jesus, they were in the upper room when the Holy Spirit came. They had been praying. They had been seeking God. That's when the Spirit was poured out. In Acts chapter 9, the Lord spoke to Ananias because Saul had been converted and his name was being changed to Paul. And it was while Paul was praying that God spoke to Ananias and said, "Go lay hands on him and pray for him. Go pray that he would be healed." It was while he was praying. It was almost like this confirmation that he had really had a change in his heart. God heard Paul's prayer and sent a servant to heal him. So all these things, it could go on and on about all these great examples of how to pray and how God works when we pray. And so I want to say this, and I want you to pay attention, and then I'm going to give you these three secrets. Again, I told you I'm not going to take long, and I promise you I'm not. You're not going to learn how to pray just because you've read it in a book. You're not. You're not going to learn how to pray just because you heard a sermon, or we had a 21 Days of Prayer series, or Josh preached one of the best messages, or Pastor Daryl preached one of the best. It's not going to make a difference. It's not what. How you learn how to pray is by praying. I'm being just straight up. How you learn how to pray is by praying. Now, the sermons and the books and the studies and the instructions, they will guide, they will be of assistance, they will help, they will do their part. But if you don't actually get on your knees or stand up or get in your private place or whatever it may be and actually pray, you'll never really learn how to pray. Because it's in those moments where you start to apply all those messages and what you've read and what you've heard. It's when you start to apply that and put yourself in a position to pray and hear from God, where God starts speaking and your spirit wakes up and things start shifting. But you got to pray. If you're going to get better at praying, you need to start praying. I know that that's, super deep, but it's the truth. And so here in a few moments, we're going to be asking God for some things for you and for our church and for our community. And so you need to be in a place where you're willing and ready to actually pray. And some of you are like, "Well, I don't know what to pray for." I'll give you all kinds of things to pray for. That's why we gave you a guide, so you have something to pray for if you couldn't think of anything. In our region, what was it, a year ago, we had, not just in our region, but I think across the United States, we had 64,000 people die because of opioid overdoses. 64,000 people, that's more than the Vietnam War and I can't even think of the other ones combined. Afghanistan war all in one year. There's something to pray for. For that to be broken. There's all kinds of things. We should have a burden in our cities. We should have a burden in our communities for people to be revived and for people to be restored. Don't you dare, believer, let your heart harden towards those who suffer. And I'm going to tell you, it's easy to do. Because you hear it so often, you hear it so frequent, of somebody abusing something, of somebody reoccurring addictions and somebody struggling because of their addiction. They've committed crimes, and it just makes you angry. Makes you angry. I mean, Megan and I were at a restaurant downtown just a few weeks ago, and it was clear there was a couple in there that were as high as they could possibly be. They were disruptive. They were combative. They were aggressive. It was quite uncomfortable. And we handled it as long as we could. And on my way out, you asked my wife, I was visibly aggravated. I was mad. But I was mad for a couple reasons. One is because we were eating at a restaurant that I love, and I was really hungry. And so I had to take my food to go because I couldn't have confronted this couple. They were unpredictable. Let's just put it that way. And it wouldn't have been a wise move, and I wasn't going about to escalate the situation. So I was aggravated at the fact that I was starving and we didn't get to finish our food and have our day date. But also, I was aggravated at just the condition of what's taken place in our city. I was just so angry. And I had to fight because what will happen is in that moment, the enemy will turn that anger into an anger directed towards people. And I'll be mad at that person. And I'll be mad at that individual. But see, the Bible teaches that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. And so as a believer, I have to allow the Holy Spirit to make sure that anger is directed to the spirit behind it. To break that power. That should be a burden in my heart to pray. That should be a burden in our hearts to pray. And some people say, well, prayer doesn't make a difference. Well, then shut up. Prayer does make a difference. You don't pray then. You don't have any faith about it anyway. I do. I'll be praying. I'll pray enough for both of us then. You go watch your Jeopardy and do your thing. I don't care. Plenty of things to pray for. That's why the Bible says in Peter, he said to stay alert, stay sober, stay vigilant. There's an adversary who's out like a roaring lion seeking who he can devour. He's constantly seeking. He doesn't sleep. He's out to kill, steal, and destroy. It's what he does. And so when you start to get in the presence of God and you start asking God questions, God, show me, God, show me, God, show me, and then wait, and then listen. What will happen is the Holy Spirit will begin to show you. He'll show you images. He'll show you pictures. He'll take you to the Word. He'll give you ideas. He'll give you thoughts. And when he starts to show you what's taking place, then you'll know that you're praying according to the will of God because you're praying something that God has actually showed you and spoken, something that he's directed, something that he wants to change or transform. And there is power in that, right? There's power in that. You know, it's not the same. It's like if you don't like someone in your family, you know, I don't like my cousin, they're jerks, and I'm praying against that. God don't answer those prayers. Stop that. Cut that mess out. That's not what we're praying for. You know, my husband's a jerk. My wife's a jerk. My neighbor's a jerk. You know, their dog took a dump on my yard. And like, give me a break. We got some bigger things to deal with, okay? Post something mean on your Facebook page about it and move on. Right? But whenever you get in a position to wait on the Lord, he'll give you the direction. He'll give you instruction. That's who he is. So we want to let God place these desires. Let God shape these desires in our hearts. So three things that I'm going to give you quickly, and then we're going to pray for just a little bit tonight. First thing, these are secrets, prayer secrets. Secrets. All right, that was weird and creepy, my bad. Number one, to be powerful and consistent in prayer, you've got to have a childlike spirit. You got to pray, asking your Heavenly Father the way a child would ask their parent for something. I mean, you want to see kids ask for something? Watch Billy and Sabrina's kids walk by that bookstore and wanting candy. They don't care who you are. Can I have that? Can I have that? Can I have that? They do not care. My daughter to this day, they're out there in the corn maze getting lost, having fun, so I can talk about her tonight. Nobody tell her that I did because she'll make me pay later. To this day, when Ava wants something, she has no problem asking for it. No problem at all. I mean, if I'm being honest, she has really, really taken advantage of the fact that both her father and her grandfather have pastored this church. And she has felt like because of that, she should be entitled to extra things from the bookstore, candy, soda, pop from the youth room, you name it. Being honest with you, I probably owe an annual salary for all the food that girl has eaten. Now, my son, he's not the same. He's pretty honest. My daughter, if she wants something, she asks. She's probably asked some of you for stuff. She has no problem. Childlike faith. Childlike faith. What childlike faith in Scripture is this. You can't be coming to God praying and wondering at the same time if he even cares. You can't come to God and pray and ask for something and not be sure that He wants you to have it. You need to know in your heart and believe with everything in you that first and foremost, your Heavenly Father loves you so much, cares about every detail of your life so much, that when you pray, it matters to Him. That when you take the time to get in His presence, it matters to Him. He wants you to know that I love you. He wants you to know that I care about what's going on in your life. Now, the enemy will battle that for the rest of your life. He will battle that. Anytime you get into the presence of God and you ask God for something, the enemy is going to say, no, you're not good enough. He's going to say, no, because you messed up. You got to get better in order to get God's attention. You're too bad to get God's attention. God doesn't honor people who've messed up like that. God doesn't honor people who've screwed up. God doesn't honor people who aren't consistent. God doesn't do that. God doesn't take time for you. And that is exactly how the enemy will attack you over and over and over again. He'll say, you got to get more spiritual in order for God to answer that kind of prayer. You got to get deeper. You got to have more word. You got to have more this. You got to have more that in order for God to answer that kind of prayer. And this is exactly how the enemy works. He's been doing this for thousands of years, and he'll continue to do this for thousands of years because it keeps working on so many people. And the enemy's going to battle that in our lives. And so you've got to come to God, and you've got to, when you pray, know that He hears. With everything in you, know that He hears and that it is His will. When you're praying, to answer that prayer. That means that as childlike faith, that you don't just come in all confused and you don't come in with questions. You make sure that if you're not sure, get it in His Word. Get it in His Word. It's there. The answer is there. But you've got to do your part. Come to God and know that when you pray, He hears and that He wants to answer, just like our Heavenly Father, just like an earthly father wants to take care of his kids, our Heavenly Father wants to take care of his kids and have mercy on what we're going through. I've always wondered this when people question God. Do you really think that our Heavenly Father looks down from heaven and sees His children, His creation suffering and does not care? No, absolutely not. Of course He cares. He cares about every detail and every aspect of your life. And the same thing that makes me happy when my daughter asks me for something, which is finding a way to provide for her, makes our Heavenly Father happy when you come to Him with a request or a petition or a need. It makes Him happy knowing that your need is met as well. And so we need to have that childlike faith, that childlike spirit when we come to our Heavenly Father. Second thing, very, very simple. And I'm going to elaborate on this one just a few extra minutes while I think about it. You have to be in agreement with God. You have to be in agreement with God. Now, I know that when I say agreement, you have to be in agreement with what I just said. You're praying according to God's will, praying according to His word, having that childlike faith. You got to have that. Because, of course, when the disciples asked Him to help, when did Jesus never not help them? He always helped them. Whenever there was a need, He always took care of it. He always met somehow, some way. So we're in agreement with what Scripture says. But you've also got to agree with this. When God says something is wrong, and He points that out in your life, you've got to agree with God that it's wrong in your life. This is what the Bible says, Psalm 66, verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. NIV, if I had cherished that sin in my heart, the Lord would not have what? Listened. Have listened. See, there's a lot of prayers that are weak, a lot of prayers that are not strong and that are not answered, and here's the reason why. It's because there's something going on in our life that we are doing or practicing that God has said is wrong that we won't admit that's wrong. And it is preventing us from having answered prayers. And here's the issue. If God would go ahead and answer our prayer, then essentially what He's doing is rewarding us for being disobedient. Why would He do that? I don't know about you, but I have been around the parents who just give their kids anything and everything all the time, and their kids end up being kind of a brat. Nobody in this church, all of our kids are saints and angels, and we love them very much. God bless them. But I've been around the parents who spoil their kids, and in order to get their kids to behave, they keep giving them more stuff. What does that do? Does that teach that kid boundaries and discipline and behavior? No. It teaches them if I keep screaming and yelling and whining, mom and dad will keep giving me stuff. So what does that kid keep doing? Annoying us, right? Why would God reward us for disobedience? Why would He reward us for that? Anytime there are always delays between asking and receiving. That's where faith is included. That's where faith is involved. But so many times that delay, what's happening is this. When we pray, the most important thing to God is not just that you get what you're asking for. He is always, always prioritizing your heart. Every single day, all the time, his number one priority is the condition of your heart. It's your spirit. What's going on in here? So a lot of times when we ask God for something and it doesn't happen right away, he's checking your heart. You didn't know that, did you? That's why this is a secret. He's checking your heart. He's wanting to make sure that there's no sin in there. So a lot of times, whenever you get in the presence of God, because remember, you're starting to take time, you're learning to pray, you're getting into his presence, you're asking him, you're speaking, you're listening, he starts pointing things out in here. You'll feel a little tug. Oh, what's that? God's saying that needs to be changed. It's in those moments that you have to be in agreement with him. I do need to change that. And so what the Bible teaches, that agreement with God, pointing out things that are wrong in our life, agreement with God is confession. We confess it. The Bible teaches that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to what? Forgive. He doesn't hold it against us. He didn't say, all right, now I'm going to test you. You got 30 days to prove that you're not going to do this anymore. You know, we do that to people. But God doesn't do that. He's faithful and just. He forgives. He covers. He moves on. Brand new day. Brand new start. But you have to be in agreement. You have to confess it. And if you refuse to confess it, that's the problem. That's a problem. You know, it's interesting. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what other Christians say. This is in God's word. When the Holy Spirit starts working in you, and if he points out an attitude that's wrong, if he points out an action that is wrong, if he points out a relationship that's wrong, if he says you shouldn't be doing this, shouldn't be watching this, shouldn't be listening to this, I don't know, it could be a number of different things, shouldn't be treating people this way. Yeah, you're being selfish, or you're being this, or you're being that. He's saying, at that moment, if you're asking me for something, I'm going to check your heart. And when I check your heart, if I see this, what matters more to me than you getting from me what you want is that your heart is right. So I'm going to point some things out in your heart that you can get cleaned up so that you can have your heart clean. Now, the great thing about that is the moment you get to God and get in his presence, say, all right, God, I repent. Forgive me. I confess these sins to you. At that moment, boom, channel opens up. He opens that prayer channel, and now when you're asking him, he's saying, look at that clean heart. I can trust them. I can give because their heart's clean. The most important thing in their life, what matters to me most, has been taken care of. And that channel opens up. And now all of a sudden the provision and the answers start flowing through. This is so important. The moment you confess is when that channel opens up. There's a lot of people that haven't figured this out. They haven't figured this out. And so that channel, it's open up in heaven. And again, God's not trying to make you prove anything. He's just saying, I need you to listen. Again, just logically think for a second. Logically think for a second. Again, why would God approve and answer your prayer when you are living in sin contrary to his word? When you are flat out saying, God, I refuse to do what's right, even though you've shown it to me and proven it to me, why would he reward that? That doesn't even make sense, does it? It doesn't to me. It's just, to me, it's logical. But yet we think that because, you know, we pray, God's just automatically supposed to answer our prayers because he's God and because I want it. God says, you can want it all day. That's not how I work. I'm going to work according to my word. And if you want to have efficient prayer, you're going to learn this secret. And you're going to fix this. You're going to correct this. You know, a lot of people, and let me say this too, while I'm thinking about it. Some of us, God is asking us to do something positive. He's asking us to step out in faith, or he's asking us to give. So maybe it's give extra. Maybe it's start tithing. Maybe it's start doing volunteering or doing, it could be a number of different things. He wants you in agreement with that also, because there are some of us that have refused to step out and be obedient. And again, that refusal has closed the channel. I've never understood why people want God to bless their finances but refuse to give. I've never understood that. I've also never understood how people can trust God for their salvation and live eternally in heaven, but yet don't trust him to provide here on earth. That has never made sense to me. Just logically, it's never made sense to me. God, I trust to live in heaven with you in all eternity in paradise and my big mansion and all that, but I'm not giving you a dollar on earth. What? That doesn't make sense. That is ridiculous. People do it all the time. And so again, the moment you obey, you get into agreement with God, channel opens up. It makes that sound too. I'm just joking. It doesn't make that sound. You don't get answers because you yell louder. You don't get answers because you pray louder, because you shout all of a sudden. You don't get answers because you're like really into this. I mean, I'm not making fun of anybody. I'm just being honest. That's not why God answers prayer. And I know that God's not deaf, and I know that God's not afraid of loud noises either. But here's the problem. A lot of people are trying to cover their disobedience with shouts. They think that just because they're shouting in a service, they don't have to be obedient anymore. Ha! You kidding me? I've seen it. Seen it for way too long. You can't make up for disobedience. You can't. You can't shout your way out of that. You can't dance your way out of that. Disobedience is disobedience. And the only way to get that sin cleansed out of your life, get that heart right, there is one way. Confess it. Confess it. Repent. There it is. Can't praise your way out of it. Can't serve your way out of it. Can't give your way out of it. I don't know why people don't get this. Again, it's a secret for some reason. We confess our sin. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. If we're hiding something secret, God says, listen, this is don't play games with this. This is so important. Don't play games with this. Don't try to make deals with sin. And again, I'm helping us tonight. I'm helping you. I'm helping me too. This is a word for all of us tonight. Don't think that if there's sin in your heart, you move God because you got tears in your eyes. Those tears better come from a place of confession. I know this is serious, but this is why prayers aren't being answered in 2019, going into 2020. You want to have prayers answered in 2020? Here you go. This will change a lot. There's got to be agreement here. Again, I'm not judging you. Only God can judge you, and don't judge me either. I got to deal with God myself. But when God points something out in my life, and I refuse to listen, and I refuse to follow, and I refuse to confess, and I refuse to change, I have no business coming to Him, asking Him for a thing, and expecting Him to answer. What matters to Him is that my heart is right. And so a lot of you have been in, maybe some people listening have been in a delay season, and that might be the reason why. That's just truth. And I know that a lot of people struggle with this because we live in a culture right now that says live any way you want and God just loves everybody and you can get what you want from God. But God's word does not teach that. And so you're going to struggle. So number one, childlike spirit, childlike faith. And then the second thing is you've got to confess, get in agreement with God's word. And the third one is this. Whenever God answers, you give Him all the glory. You make that known while you pray. God, I will not in any way withhold any praise, any testimony, any glory. No matter how big this request is or how small this request is, it will all point back to you. And you better honor that. You better honor that with everything in you. You got to ask, will God be glorified? Because here's the reality, believe it or not, do you know that at the center of the universe is not your need? That the world does not revolve around you. I know that a lot of times we think that, and we live our life in 2019 as if it's the truth, that the world and the universe, everything revolves around Josh. You and you, you're here for me. No, at the very center of the universe is God and His glory. And if at any moment you want God to come through for you, you better point back to that glory. You better make sure that everything that you've gotten points gives Him the credit, gives Him the praise. He deserves it. He's the one who gave you life. He's the one who's coming through for you. He's the one who has saved you. He's the one who healed you. He's the one. Give Him that glory. Give it, point it all back to Him. Point it all back to Him. And when God sees His people give Him glory for what He's done and who He is, He moves. He moves. He gets excited. It stirs Him up because remember that at the center of this universe is God. It is Him and Him alone. Not any one of us, not our needs, not our wants, not our problems, not our issues. I know it feels like that. That doesn't mean they don't matter to God. Of course they do. We went over that. But at the very center is the glory of God. And we should not dare forget in any moment when we're asking God for something to not give Him that due glory. Because when you give Him that glory, He comes through. Bible teaches that he opens up the windows of heaven. He blesses. He takes care of us. So childlike in expectancy. You know, miracles happen if you'll just come to God as like a child, like childlike faith, just trusting him, just asking him, not worrying about a thing, not thinking about all the details, not scrambling in your brains going 17 different directions, but just going simply in your, it's just like a kid running into a dad and jumping on his lap. Hey, Dad, can I have this? Just that simplistic faith. Miracles will take place in your life. Number two, agree with him. If he points something out, don't rationalize it. Don't justify it. Why? Well, God, I've got to keep doing this because, or my life has changed because, and if I stop doing this, then this will happen. And guess who loses when you do that? You do. You're not changing God. You're just preventing God from moving in your life. And so agree with God. Number three, God, you know what I need tonight? I'm going to give you all the glory. I'm going to post about nothing but God on Facebook tomorrow. You're getting every bit of it. Every bit of it. Three simple prayer secrets that will change your life.